GPS system gives to the handler of the phone or of the machine, whether it's a ship or a plane, four measurements: altitude, longitude, latitude, and time. Altitude, longitude, latitude, and time. So the receiver, the person holding whatever mechanism it is that has GPS in it, the system in it, we can know exactly where they're at on Earth and what time it is exactly where they're at. So location and time. And certainly this was the greatest invention to hit both air and naval travel, because the great mariners of the middle times used stars or the rays of the sun, the position of the moon, to navigate in the middle of the ocean. But if it's cloudy, you're stuck. Right? And if there's a great storm when you're flying, you're stuck, because the planes prior to 1980 needed other times of measurement, other units of measurement, to figure out exactly where they were going. So certainly we all know, if we're not a pilot or the captain of a cruise ship, we know that the GPS is a great invention, because it gives to us the precise rock or the precise measurement of stability in the midst of what might be crazy. Jesus's, our Lord's, GPS is truth, because he knew, just like in his time, 500 years after 33 AD, 500 years after that, and then 1,000 years after that, in 2015, he knew that his people, you and I, would be living in very confusing times. He knew in his divine mind that so many people read the Dickinson Press and the Tribune and headlines as the Bible, when they're really just headlines, that's all they are. But holy cow, do headlines motivate our thoughts and our actions, and thinking that if it's in proof, if it's in the Tribune, it's got to be true. And at a certain point, whether it's sports or the weather, this can be a good thing. But friends, if the headlines are creating your mind and forming your heart in its location and its time in proximity to heaven, then I think we have to rethink things. If you look at the baby Jesus looking at Mary's face in this statue on your left, he's a beautiful baby boy. And if you look in the sanctuary, you see the man Jesus on a cross. Certainly, to be holy and pious, we want to say it's a beautiful body, but really it's not. He has a hole in his side. He's dead. It's brutal. Saints have seen this. They've overcome their false piety, and they say that Jesus, in some sense, is beautiful, but in other senses, he looks terribly miserable. The Passion of Christ, that movie, the feature film, was a great depiction of this, because it really doesn't edify the romantics who think that these things never happened. It was a brutal scene when Jesus was killed in the Passion of Christ film, but it gives to us some understanding of what it was really like, the reality of it all. But it's the same person, and it's the same God, the baby God and the man God. He came into this world to teach us truth, and he left this world to show us his love. But that comes first. Not love, but truth. And certainly a priest walks a hard line, because so many of us with big hearts want to make it all about love. But we can't miss the 18th chapter of John, when Jesus, in fact, doesn't mention love at all. In these five verses, he's all about the truth. And you might see him as a lousy poker player, but he has no bluff here. He shows to his greatest enemy, Pontius Pilate, his whole hand. When it gets down to it, what is Jesus here for? We want to say love, and certainly that's not wrong. But if we want to quote him verbatim, literally, He's all about truth. He was born a baby not to show us his love. He was born a baby to teach us his truth. He died to show us his love. But truth must come first. So if we want an example of this, if we want like a real life, down-to-earth example of this, there is no better one in 2015 than the concept or the issue of same-sex marriage. So we want to move away. Oftentimes we have the temptation. I have the temptation to move away that it is true. It is true, not just for Catholics, but it is true, actually speaking, in reality, that two men cannot be married. It is true that that's just not possible. They can have a union, they can love, they can have a relationship, they can live together, they can be together, but they can't be married, right? 4,500 years of history have said that. Marriage is one man and one woman. That's true. But sometimes, right, you and I, when we want to love those people, perhaps children of ours, friends of ours, neighbors of ours, uncles and aunts of ours, and wanting to love people who struggle with same-sex attraction, and wanting to love them and be compassionate, we say, well, why can't they be married? Because then you just flush truth down the toilet. And the little baby kind of disappears. Because that little baby came into this world first and foremost to teach us the truth. Because he knew that if our hearts weren't guided by the truth, that heart will never see true love. Just a false sense of emotion. And we know, right, in our teenage years, in our young adult years, we're far better off thinking with our heads than with our hearts. When we think with our hearts, we get into trouble. But look at it this way. To move away from that example and to approach us in the whole of our faith. In just 1 week, Advent begins. And Advent, like Lent, is a time of penance. It's a time of preparation. But in Lent, we prepare for death. We prepare for that. Jesus dying on a cross. And then, of course, Easter and the greatness of Easter and the resurrection. But really, those 40 days are dedicated to preparing our hearts and minds for that. But Advent, friends, is a time when we prepare for that. Which is why good-smelling kitchens and Christmas music and garland and red and green lights and a lot of joy and smile and Christmas parties are so fitting. God wants that. That's not overly secular. That's a good thing. If those things lead us to prepare for the birth of a baby. And as we celebrate Christ the King today, Christ the King of the universe, this is a king, unlike many kings in human history, that did not rule by force or just by laws alone or by regulations or by policy. This is a king who, yes, liked policy, yes, had laws, yes, had regulations, but those were all guided by truth and by love. We have a king who came into this world, friends, as a baby. We had a king who left this world as a dead man. What's more welcoming to you, the baby or the dead man? Some of us might say genuinely the dead man because that has more power. But nonetheless, in just 30 days, we want to welcome that little guy. And that's not a fairy tale. That actually happened. Mary actually carried Jesus. That actually happened. That teaches us truth, and that teaches us love. We have a king who wants to rule our hearts and our minds by both truth and love. And if we only follow one and leave the other, if we're all about love but we forget truth, if we're all about truth and forget love, then Jesus is not our king. But if we live life putting truth and love equally in our hearts and minds, then we are really following the king. We are really obeying the king who came into this world to teach us truth and to show us what love is really all about. That's who Jesus is.